The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
James Carville nailed it. You remember James, the ridiculously liberal and ridiculously handsome Democrat strategist who became famous for getting Bill Clinton elected? Here's what he told Maureen Dowd of the New York Times. It showed up in the paper this weekend. Quote, a suspicion of mine is that there are too many preachy females. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. And he's talking about the problem for the Democrats is preachy women. I've been asking for a long time how any man can vote for a Democrat, and the polls show that single women are the Democrats' best friend. Now, James said, looking at Joe Biden's poll numbers, he said, it's like walking in to see your grandmother naked. It's something you can't unsee. And then he said, quote, if you listen to Democratic elites, NPR is my go-to place for that. The whole talk is about how women and women of color are going to decide this election. I'm like, well, 48% of the people that vote are males. Do you mind if they have some consideration? Unquote. It's Democrats who insist that Rachel Levine is a woman. And they insist that drag queen shows are okay for kids and that men don't have an advantage over women. And I see something almost every day that makes me ask how a man can vote for a Democrat. So it's nice to see a big-time Democrat has started to come around a little bit. Let's see. Let's hope that they don't listen to him. When we come back, Joe Biden has succeeded in sneaking what amounts to a national gun registry into the picture, and you'll be paying for it. And in our second half hour, an election law attorney from Philadelphia with some warnings about what and how the Democrats are trying to do in 2024, what they did in 2020. Stick around. Well, coming after your gas-powered car and your gas stove are relatively new things for the Democrats, but they've been coming after your guns for a long time. Most of them hate the Second Amendment. Victoria Taft wrote about the latest gun grab at PJ Media, and she joins us now. Victoria, good to have you on. Haven't talked to you for a while.
Love to be in Stagger World. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming on. So,
thank you for having me, I should say.
Well, did the Democrats sneak this one in?
It looks like they did, and here's what's going on. The Red Flag Law Center, Resource Center, has been opened by the Department of Justice, and they've done their fade work through Johns Hopkins and started a sort of clearinghouse of information for entities, states that would like to implement red flag laws. These are red flag laws that they say are going to help people. And indeed, I'm sure a few people have been helped. Probably no more than would have been helped earlier, but nevertheless, the whole idea behind them is that they are setting up what is tantamount to a snitch line. And this will happen. It's not happening now, according to the Resource Center, but it provides information to other states for how to go about setting up these red flag laws. And the red flag laws, if they do implement them, will, of course, come with money attached. And those states that do not implement them will not get that money. That's always the way it goes. But by setting this up, what they've done is they've done additional work to begin to keep track of bad gun owners. And bad gun owners, of course, is not something that you and I both might agree on, John. We might say that, oh, I might think that somebody is a bad gun owner. You might think they're great. They're just, I don't know, for whatever reason, somebody decides that they don't like what they're doing. Well, can you imagine a world in which someone might not agree that you should have a gun? Can you imagine a world in which somebody might want to take their kid to the range and they don't like it? Can you imagine? Well, I can. in the West Coast, West Coast, we had snitch lines set up, at least in Washington State, in which people were able to snitch on people, companies, and others who did not follow the rules on COVID. You don't think that this will turn into a snitch line, then you ain't paying attention, because that's exactly what this is going to do. And Kamala Harris out there all weekend talking about how wonderful this was that they set this thing up because it will prevent deaths. Well, how is it going to prevent deaths? By circumventing people's fundamental civil rights.
Yeah, the name Red Flag Resource Center sounds like something every gun owner should be afraid of. Just the name of it.
Well, they call it ERPO is what they do, and it you know, it has a long-standing name. They like to call them ERPO because it sort of hides what's going on at their extreme risk protection orders. And most people know them by the red flag laws. You red flag an individual, say that I don't like this person. This person has been talking smack. This person might has been possibly talking about suicide, and therefore we need to go in and take his guns away. And we do that by virtue of a what a bad choice of words, a court hearing, which is not known to the individual who's being targeted. And they go, and the judge in a civil hearing goes through and says yes or no on whether or not that person should have their civil rights removed from them, unbeknownst. And then what happens? Who takes those guns? Oh, you send up gunned up cops to go after them. And then they go, well, we're here to take your guns. The guy's going, what the hell? What am I supposed to do here? What? Where's the warrant? Where's this? Who knows? And there's one guy in Maryland got killed because the cops came. And he didn't know who the heck they were, why they were there. So this is not benign. This is part of the plan. Fewer than half the states in the union have red flag laws, and there's a reason for that.
Well, so I call up the Red Flag Resource Center, and I say, listen, I got this neighbor, Victoria Taft. She's very strange. I don't like the way she acts. She was mean to my dog, I think, and I saw
that she was carrying a gun.
Yeah, I think you really better look into this person. Can you go check her out? And so this all will go on unbeknownst to you. You will be being checked out.
Right.
They'll be spying on you. And how will they be spying on you to find out whether you're a good gun owner or a bad gun owner?
Well, they don't know. They just take the word of the person who's a reporter, and that person is a reporter who's official, and they are people who are judges, law enforcement, excuse me, attorneys, clinicians, victim service providers.
But there's no official. I mean, it's just enough. I don't know how you contact the Red Flag Resource Center. I don't know if you call them up or send them an email, but whatever you have to do, all it takes is the person on the other end of the snitch to set the process in motion, and pretty soon they show up at your door. Nothing in between the phone call and them showing up. I mean, they have a court case,
but
what's at the hearing? What do they discuss? What are they using to prove or disprove your worthiness?
I don't know. There's really nothing that they have to prove. They have a clinician or someone come in and attest to the fact that there's somebody who's in danger to themselves or a danger to others. And then they get their guns taken away.
So it's a good way
and I'm sure that some people, believe me, I am not that dumb that I don't think that some people need to have their guns taken away from them. Somebody suffering from all manner of mental illness, somebody who's at the end of the rope. I understand that. We get it. But the problem is that in order to deprive that person of their weapons, you need to at least employ a civil rights order of things. You need to give them due process. This does not give them due process. And so they go, well, it's exigent circumstances. Okay, fine. Then you should probably come up with another way besides depriving someone of their civil liberties. Excuse me.
So how did the Biden administration sneak this in? Because in your piece, and we're talking to Victoria Taft from PJ Media, in your piece you mentioned that one Republican, I think Massey, said, wait a minute, we didn't know about, where did this come from? So how did they not
Thomas
know
Massey.
Where it came from?
Yeah, well, they didn't. they didn't. But what happened was, at least the gun owners coalition believes that it came in 2022, probably implemented in 2023, which means that it was a slow detonation process to get this thing. You don't think that they just were able to stand up this incredible website in a matter of just a few hours after the omnibus. Don't know. I mean, there might have been additional funding in the omnibus, and it could have been under the Safer Communities Act. They might have given them additional funding, and it was buried there somewhere. It's possible. But the initial funding was done for Johns Hopkins University. And then they mirrored everything from Johns Hopkins and put the imprimatur of the DOJ on it and said that this is the best thing since sliced bread. And you and I both know that this is not the best thing since sliced bread. This is an attempt to federalize the red flag laws in order to deprive Americans of their right to bear arms.
So this was an idea and a plan and one that was pretty well put in place that didn't become reality until this omnibus bill and the money that was in it to fund it?
I don't know if it came in this last omnibus bill, but I wouldn't be surprised. Thomas Massie certainly alludes to that.
Yeah.
When he said, what the hell is this evil? A federal red flag center? We did not authorize this. Announced, of course, just hours after the omnibus passes. So that tells me that he obviously didn't know, but there might have been something slipped into that to trigger it, so to speak. I really don't. Otherwise, the folks over at the Firearms Policy Coalition says that this happened in 2022 by so-called bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And, of course, John Cornyn and Mitt Romney were right there and signing on to it.
Sure.
The usual characters.
Yeah. Well, so this is just one big gun registry then is what it is.
It will be though.
Yeah, I mean that's what it ends up being.
Sure.
They're gonna have paperwork on everybody.
Well, and the other thing is that ultimately it could be that unless it's stopped. But I would say that ultimately what they're looking for is just another hammer to hold over people's heads who are gun owners. And if you step out of line, if you are a white supremacist gun owner, fascist Trump supporter, which is what, I'm a Trump supporter, so therefore
right.
I must be a white fascist, whatever. If they can call you anything they want, they'll get your guns taken away. It will be a snitch line.
We're talking to Victoria Taft. You can see her piece at pjmedia.com about this, and it's you did a really good job of diving into it, and we don't have enough. I hope people go to read it so get all the details on it. But I wanted to ask you about a couple other things. First of all, I have a question for you. There's a lot of news today with Trump's bond being decreased down to $175 million. That's the big story everywhere today. I want to ask you if you have two things. Have you seen much outrage or enough outrage from the Republicans about Mike Gallagher resigning after the possibility of having a special election? And do you expect to see it from either the Republicans or the so-called conservative media? Because I'm not. I think they should be outside of Mike Gallagher's house with torches today. Republicans should be out there threatening to burn his house down if he doesn't resign by lunchtime. And I don't see any outrage. How are they letting this guy get away with this?
Outrage. It's a slow burning outrage, I think.
There are people who
see what he's doing.
They don't
have
time.
He saw what he did there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And there won't be enough time inside of an election year to do that. And he did that in order to poop in Trump's oatmeal, of course.
Yeah.
That's what all that was about.
Yeah, but I get what he's doing. But what I don't get is, the silence. To me, Victoria, this is a bigger story than anything that happens to Trump today. If this guy, which some of the theories are saying, if this guy is doing this, as you said, to poop in his oatmeal, well, then that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And if the Republicans feel like he is doing or did that to them, they should be wanting to strangle him. And I don't understand why they're not everywhere on TV today screaming about it.
Well, I mean, it did happen last week. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think maybe that, and of course it dissipated over the weekend and that sort of thing. And I Republicans don't go and burn, you know, with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't do that.
Yeah. Well,
so,
they should be.
Yeah,
I can't believe this guy did this. And the Republicans are going all along like it doesn't matter. It's stunning to me. Well, I have to ask you about something else.
Sure.
James Carville's comments to Maureen Dowd at the New York Times. He said, a suspicion of mine, he's talking about what he thinks the Democrats' problem is. He says, A suspicion of mine is that there are too many preachy females, don't drink beer, don't watch football, don't eat hamburgers, this is not good for you, the message is too feminine, everything you're doing is destroying the planet, you've got to eat your peas. That's part of the quote. Now, I think he's right. It's why I ask all the time, how can any man vote for a Democrat? But I guess I'm asking you as a female and a person who covers politics and one of my favorite guests on this show, does thinking that he's right make me a bad person?
No, of course. James Carville, though, it is kind of ironic that this guy is the guy who's now coming around and picking on women again, Mr. I can drag a $100 bill through a trailer park and find out what happens.
Yeah.
And was part of the bimbo eruption squad on behalf of Bill Clinton back in the 90s. It is on that anvil that the National Organization for Women destroyed whatever reputation it had left. Is it still around? Don't know. Don't care. But anyway, no, you're not wrong. And so, you know, every once in a while, Carville gets it right. And he's maybe that's the influence of his wife, who's not a preachy female,
right?
You know,
he's obviously afraid. What he said was prior to that, he said looking at Joe Biden's poll numbers are like walking in to see your grandmother naked. It's something you can't unsee. That's what he said. And then he said,
he does, you know, Carville does this, though. I mean, Carville does this. He'll say something like this and look like he's jumping off the ship of Biden.
Yeah, right.
And then in a week, he goes back on somebody's show and says something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's wise to be alarmed at the poll numbers. But the problem for the Democrats is that those women that he calls whiny or they're preachy.
Yeah.
Those women are the wine moms, the suburban wine moms that everybody wants. You know, he's pissed. I don't know why he went off and decided he was going to tick those chicks off. But the fact of the matter is, he said they are the tail wagging the dog. But the other thing is that, you know, Trump, this is a good opportunity for Trump. Not because of Carville, but because of the underlying message that they could sell to these women, and that is their security and the security of their children. As this president lets in millions of people who we don't even know who they are, empty prisons, people coming up and saying they can steal our homes. It is astonishing. We are witnessing an invasion. And if people, those wine moms, don't get it, they are, I mean, who wants their vote?
Yeah.
But I bet you they do.
Well,
these are the old soccer moms. These are the, now they're the wine moms. Yeah, they should get it.
I'm out of time, Victoria, but I'll just say as I go here that I think a lot of it has to do with he may be a Democrat. But he's also a guy. He's a sports fan. I think he might have a lot of guy friends who might be telling him, hey, how can you vote for these people? You know, or asking them. Because he sees they're a bunch of, preachy women.
He's right now.
Yeah.
He'll retract it later.
Yeah. Hey, Victoria, always good to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Victoria Taft of PJ Media. Check her piece out at pjmedia.com. I'll be right back. Well, I'm one of those crazy conspiracy theorists who thinks Donald Trump won Pennsylvania in 2020. Of course, I could be wrong, but there's no doubt that the process in 2020 was ripe for corruption. Linda A. Kearns is an election law attorney in Philadelphia who says there are things that need to be done in 2024 to keep the Democrats honest, and she joins us now. Thanks for coming on the show, Linda. I really appreciate it.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. I'm always happy to talk about election law and election procedure.
I'm glad you are, because I am too. So let's start with what happened in 2020. I mean, that's a big question, yeah.
Right. Specifically in Pennsylvania, I represented the Trump campaign in 2020. And as everyone now knows, Pennsylvania instituted mail-in balloting just the year before that election. So the procedure was really new. So on election day, when they started counting the ballots, unfortunately, our watchers could not get very close in Philadelphia and in a lot of the other counties in Pennsylvania. The counting was taking place in the convention center because there was so many ballots to count. And the city had erected parade gates, and our watchers were behind those parade gates. And we were really concerned because we couldn't get any type of meaningful access of watching the counting. But unfortunately, Pennsylvania law is just not very clear on what access the watchers could get. And the Trump campaign did sue, but unfortunately, we did not prevail on that issue, and we really couldn't get any closer than behind these parade gates to watch the counting.
That's crazy. We'll get to that in a minute, but I just thought of something. I've had the author of the book on a couple of times. Sennstrom is his name, Greg Sennstrom, and I don't know if you're aware of him, but he wrote a book called, co-authored a book called Parallel Elections, and just a week or two ago I had him on because he was accusing people, specific people in Philadelphia, of blocking the access to the counting of the votes, and they sued him for defamation, and he won the case. They lost, and he called that a big victory, and he said it proved that what he said they were doing was true because they looked at all the details, and they didn't find that anything he said was untrue. I don't know if you're aware of that book or that story, but it just occurred to me now.
Right. Well, the problem we have in Pennsylvania is when the legislature changed the law from it needing an excuse to send in a mail-in ballot to not needing an excuse, which is what happened from 2019 to 2020, the entire election code wasn't really changed that much. So the procedures that were perfectly acceptable when counties were only counting a few hundred or a few thousand mail-in ballots were not acceptable when hundreds of thousands of ballots were counted. And our law in Pennsylvania specifically states that the campaign and the candidate can have a watcher present when the envelopes containing the ballots were opened. Well, present takes on a lot of different meanings if you're in a convention center the size of Philadelphia's convention center, or if you're in an office. And because the law was so unclear, it was really up to the counties to interpret it. And unfortunately, in places like Philadelphia County, they interpreted it to mean as long as you're present, then we're fulfilling the law. But when you're in a place the size of the convention center, which is, you know, the size of the field where the Philadelphia Eagles play or the Pittsburgh Steelers play, being in the room doesn't really count for much.
Yeah, so
that's not reasonable access.
They called being in the convention center being in the room, the same as it would be in the room at some ballot place, ballot location, you know, voting booth somewhere. That's
right.
That.
And what a lot of people, I think, don't realize is the Trump campaign, we sued and we lost on election day at the trial court level, but we immediately appealed to the intermediate court in Pennsylvania, which is called the Commonwealth Court. And the Commonwealth Court judge actually sided for us and said that the watchers needed to have meaningful access, which she defined as being within 8 feet of all the action. Unfortunately, that suit was then therefore appealed to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court reversed what the appellate court did. But that was one win in that 2020 election for the Trump campaign, although it was a very short-term win because it was immediately appealed to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Well, I just saw an interview over the weekend, George Stephanopoulos interviewing Rand Paul, and he made the statement that there's no evidence whatsoever that any votes were stolen or that the election was stolen, and every single court has looked at it and ruled in favor of you know, has said that there was no fraud. And he and Rand Paul tried to say, listen, well, he tried to push back. So I'm asking you, what do you say when people make that statement?
What I say is, if we want to change things, we have to win elections and we have to move forward.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to change anything once a ballot is received by the election office, once a ballot is counted, once election day is over. What we need to do is look forward. And here in Pennsylvania and all across the country, the RNC is recruiting watchers. I mean, we need bodies, because if there is somebody in the room, even if you can't get that close, the fact that you're in the room and those workers are being watched means that there's some sunshine on the process. So we are recruiting people to help. You can go to the website protectthevote.com and then just go to the Pennsylvania part. That's protectthevote.com. Or you can go to my Twitter, Linda Kearns Law, and I have a link there for protectthevote.com. And sign up to be a watcher either in a polling place or in your county where the votes are counted. And I do want to remind people that more people are still voting on machines in the election districts than they are by mail. So we need watchers in the polling places too. It's not just watchers when those ballots are being counted. We need watchers in the polling place. And the more watchers we have, the better off we're going to be in shining a light on anything that happens. And that's a preventative measure. That's not looking back. It's best to look forward, a preventative measure, so that if anything were to happen, at least we have people there. But we do need a lot of people. So I would ask all your listeners in Pennsylvania to go to protectthevote.com and then go to the spot for Pennsylvania. And then if you're in another state, just look for your state.
Well, and we're talking to Linda A. Kern. She's an election law attorney in Philadelphia. So if I volunteer to be a watcher and I show up and they put me in Acrisure Stadium and they tell me that I'm in the room and to shut up, what do I do about it? Why am I here? I'm a watcher, but they're counting the votes 150 feet away from me. Why am I here?
Well, the RNC, we're going to have we have lawyers who will be working on this election, so you'll have a number to call if you feel that they're not following the law, number one. And number two, I know that it might sound difficult, but your presence in the room, if that's all the law is going to allow, that's better than having no one there. Absolutely, because the way that these centers are set up, you still can see some things.
Binoculars?
And the fact that they're... Excuse me?
Use binoculars if you're...
Well, the way, at least the way Philadelphia is set up, there's gates, but you can see what's going on at most of the tables, at least in the front. Mm-hmm. And then you can see what people are walking around and doing, and then you report it to us. And if we feel that the law is not being followed, then we do something about it. And, you know, a lot of people say that to me. They say, well, wow, you know, I was a poll watcher in a polling place and all I did was sit there all day and nothing happened. And I say, you know what? You're my number one poll watcher, because the fact that you're there meant nothing would happen. And the fact that I have watchers at these counting centers, it's going to serve as a reminder to the people working there that there are people there. And look, in order to change the law in Pennsylvania that allows better access, we're going to need to win elections. So for right now, what I'm asking people to do is sign up at protectthevote.com and be a watcher. And I guarantee you it's absolutely helping. This is a marathon, not a sprint, and we're not going to turn things around in one day. But this is a huge step to have people there.
So you mentioned, Linda, that the Republicans, they won a case, they won at one level, and then the Supreme Court shut it down. Why wouldn't this Supreme Court err on the side of more transparency? What would be the motivation or the justification for a Supreme Court justice to vote against or try to overturn a lower court's decision that wasn't done right? Why would you want to?
Right. Well,
it just makes no sense.
Right. That was actually the point of my article today that's appearing on thefederalist.com. And I talked about that if you really literally read the Pennsylvania law that says that the candidates and campaigns are allowed to have a person in the room, I suppose that's one interpretation. And we're going to need to win elections to make that law a lot clearer, so no judge can say otherwise, that to have watchers watching either the count or in a polling place, that those watchers should have meaningful access. That's going to require a change in the law. I can't speak for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court as to why they decided like they did.
Well, what about the – I've heard that even the very fact that they changed the law prior to the election because of COVID, that was unconstitutional to begin with.
You're talking about specifically in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania. The fact that they made changes to the law, and I think they blamed it on COVID – and there were claims by the Republicans that that was unconstitutional.
Okay, well, Pennsylvania's mail-in ballot law was enacted in 2019, well before anyone knew what COVID was.
Okay.
So that law did not come about, it had nothing to do with COVID because we didn't even know what it was. I mean, remember those days? Like, I yearned for those days when no one knew what COVID was.
Yeah.
So that law was in effect. Now, when the COVID started and people, they were telling people to stay home and people were worried about contact, then different, the election offices in Pennsylvania instituted different procedures to make sure that people could feel safe. They gave protective equipment to people in the polls. They made sure you were standing as far away as possible from the people around you. And then they encouraged people to vote by mail so they wouldn't have to leave their house. So to the extent that anyone's saying, you know, that this law was enacted because of COVID, that's just simply not true. It was passed in 2019, unfortunately, by Republicans in Pennsylvania. It was passed almost on a party line vote. So COVID certainly didn't help the process because I think what happened was it encouraged more people to vote by mail. So all of a sudden, these election offices in the very first year we had this procedure were flooded with mail ballots.
So when Democrats, when this argument is presented by the Republicans, or when this any kind of a plan to make it more transparent is presented by the Republicans, what's the case the Democrats make for it being a good idea to having the convention center be considered a room? How do they get away with? I mean, do they say it with a straight face? Do they make that claim with a straight face?
Look, I can't crawl into the mind of
right.
a Democrat, and I also I don't know why anyone who is an elected official would want anything but absolute transparency, because when there is no transparency, and that's what I wrote about in my article today on the Federalist, when there is no transparency, it just foments discontent. People mm-hmm. wonder, and there's absolutely no reason for it. And not only are we voters here in Pennsylvania, we're taxpayers. These people who are not not being as transparent as they could be with how these votes are counted, they're hired by us. They're paid by us. So this is something that we have to demand. I'm hoping that when we win elections, the law is going to change in Pennsylvania so that there is a lot more transparency. So these laws are written a lot more clearly so that candidates and campaigns can watch with actual access, reasonable access, meaningful access as to exactly how these ballots are being counted. But right now for 2024, we need to work within the law that we have. And I am reminding people that right now, take off on Election Day. Election Day is November 5th. Our primary is on April 23rd. And take off from work and go and sign up at protectthevote.com. And then you can be the eyes and ears in a polling place or at the place where we count. I mean, in Philadelphia alone, there's about 1,700 polling places. That's a lot of poll watchers that we need. I mean, there obviously not every county in Pennsylvania has that many polling places, but there's a lot that we need to fill.
Well, I'm sure we have a bunch of them here in Allegheny County. So
how confident
are you, Linda, that things will be different in November? I know it depends on people reacting to your plea here, but how confident are you that it'll be different?
Want to know what I want, John? I want so many voters to turn out for both Dave McCormick and Trump that I'm not even needed, because the margin's going to be so high, there's nothing for us to argue over. And what does that mean? That means that everyone makes a plan to vote, and if you don't think you can get there on Election Day, if you think, you know, your work or your child care or something is going to interfere with that, then vote ahead of time and deliver your ballot yourself to the office. And if you know someone who might not be a voter every single time, encourage that person to vote very civilly, very friendly. But if we have enough turnout, then a lot of this isn't going to matter. We'll get the right people in office and we can change the law.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing. I appreciate you coming on the show, Linda. And people can read your piece at thefederalist.com to get more details on this. And it's protectthevote.com, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you. Hope to talk again.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that's Linda Kearns. She's an attorney in Philadelphia, election law attorney in Philly. I'll be right back. Well, there's a great little clip on Twitter. It should be everywhere. I hope it's everywhere. You know, Donald Trump had his bond reduced from $454 million to $175 million, and he did a little press conference after the decision came down and trashed the judge and trashed Letitia, said it was all a joke and ridiculous and he shouldn't have to pay anything. And, you know, said the things you would expect Donald Trump to say. And he said, thank you very much. And he turns around and he walks away and his back is to the media. And a voice comes out and says, what are you using for collateral? He turns around, just yells it back over his shoulder, one word, cash. That's what he said. You know how much that makes everybody at MSNBC want to throw up when they see that? They were hoping today that he would be told that he had to pay it in the next 15 minutes, or they were going to be, you know, they were going to put locks, chains on the doors at Trump Tower and not let him in or out until he paid. But he turned around and said, cash, one word, and with a look on his face like someone would say who has a lot of money and who had the ability to say cash when somebody asked him about $175 million. I loved it. Now, here's another thing. I got to play this soundbite from Keith Ellison talking about cars. He's the attorney general for Minnesota who was credibly accused of abusing his girlfriend. But here is Keith Ellison, who's a he's a communist, but he's talking about car theft in Minnesota and what needs to be done to, you know, fix it.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
Yeah, they're too easy to steal for young people. And how did they find that out? And how easy is it? You know, maybe what they need to do also is not go to find out about these stores that have the nerve to, you know, put things on the shelves without locking them down you know, making it so that these kids can't be tempted to steal things. And how about telling women that they shouldn't be carrying purses? What are you carrying a purse for? You're just tempting some kid to come up behind you and steal it. This guy was elected by people. He's a Democrat. People voted for him. And if the election were tomorrow, they'd vote for him again. What else do you need to know? I'll talk to you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.